He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Isn't that a great way to start a church service? Today is our Easter Sunday service. And as we get into it, there's a few things I'm going to talk about, but let me read the scriptures for you first before I do that. Our Old Testament reading is from Exodus 14. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night, without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watched the Lord in the pillar of fire, and the cloud looked down on Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. Of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This ends our Old Testament reading. Our psalm is the Song of Moses. And it's very short, but I think it's beautiful. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This ends our gospel reading. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 11. The resurrection of Christ. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This ends our epistle reading. Our gospel reading is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. And this deals with the resurrection of Jesus. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths laying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And as she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. This ends our gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I have heard this a lot said back to me on Sunday and Monday, but I have to say that I had to chuckle a little bit. Why, you ask incredulously? Well, listen to this difference. He is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Has. That's past tense instead of the present tense. Usually it is he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. All right, so why is that so important? Because he is risen. He's risen yesterday. He's risen today. And he is risen tomorrow. As it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be. Amen. It's a subtle difference in English, but it's a huge difference, speaking theologically. My focus today will be on the trip of Mary Magdalene to the tomb of Jesus that Sunday morning so long ago. The two Marys had to hurry to quickly prepare the body of Jesus on late Good Friday afternoon. According to Jewish law, they had to have this all done before sundown on Friday because it's the Sabbath. Otherwise, they would be in violation of the no work order on the Sabbath, which is a commandment. So it was a rush job at the tomb. So on early Sunday morning, just before dawn, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. Now, she was hoping to convince the Roman soldiers to roll back the stone door at the tomb. So she arrives at the break of dawn. There are no soldiers at the tomb, and the heavy stone door has been rolled back from the entrance of the doorway. Now, Mary thought that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. But instead of looking into the tomb, she runs back to the upper room to tell the disciples. Now, to me, this is where the story gets interesting. Well, at least it's interesting to me, and I hope it will be to you. Simon Peter and the other disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loves, is John, because he usually refers to himself in the third person in his own gospel, and they run to the tomb. John gets to the tomb ahead of Simon Peter, but does not enter. He looks in, but he chickens out to walk in. So Peter gets to the tomb, and he enters. And the first thing he sees are the linen cloths lying on a stone slab. Now, I find it interesting because one of the apocryphal gospels states the linens were folded and laid on the stone. But this gospel tells that the face linen was folded and placed separately from the other linens. Now, it is still dawn on Sunday, and it's dark in the tomb. So after seeing the empty tomb, they run back to tell the other disciples. Now, neither of the disciples had really entered the tomb. They just looked into the dark tomb from a lit door. Well, Mary is still crying outside the tomb. And finally she enters. And she sees two angels sitting at the head and the foot of the stone slab, dressed in white. Now, let's go back to the story of Scripture as John actually writes it here. They say to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Well, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus says to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So Mary was in the dark tomb, and she turned to face the door. Now, it's dawn. The door is backlit with light, and she sees a dark figure standing in the doorway. And she can't see any faces. She just knows there's a man standing here. She thinks that it's the gardener. And so he asks her, Why are you weeping? And this is what Scripture just can't bring out. I can hear her trying to talk through her weeping. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. You can just hear the pain and the hurt in her voice. And Jesus says to her, Mary. And she whips around and says to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which is the Aramaic form of the Hebrew word rabbi, which means teacher. And she falls at his feet, that's from one of the other Gospels, and grabs her risen Lord. Now, I want to talk about the tomb for a moment. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and sepulchre means tomb, has a beautiful little building built around the supposed stone slab and tomb of Jesus. Now, this little building is beautiful, but it has stood for over 1,300 years, and I'll be honest with you, it's falling apart. There were huge steel cables holding it together, but that room was, at this point, going to fall down soon. Now, here's where Christians I find very interesting, because we can't get along with each other. This church is under the joint control of the Roman Catholic, the Greek Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, and Coptic churches. So, what does this mean? It means no one's in charge. So nothing ever gets done. But this time, the various churches had to do something. So, they decided to take that room apart and rebuild it. And it's the first time the stone slab had been seen since the late 700s. You know, when I talk to people about the empty tomb, I've been told on more than one occasion that this is one of the biggest lies of Christianity. You know, people tell me, oh, there's no cave, there's just a room in a church. So for the first time in 1,300 years, this room was removed, piece by piece. The first thing to be revealed was the stone slab, and it's got Crusader graffiti on it. Now, we're talking 700, 800, 900. And it's actually Crusader crosses that were scratched into the slab. But when the walls of the room were being taken down is where the miracle occurred. They found that there were inner and outer walls of this room. And inside these walls were the stone walls of the tomb of Jesus. Stone walls that had been saved from the day Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb. The doorway into this room was the original doorway where the round stone had been rolled, and the original track for the door was still there under the floor. It had just been covered by the tiles going into this room. So we can walk in the same door that we just heard about. This story in Scripture is based on the empty tomb that is still there, and we can still walk into the empty tomb of Jesus. I find this really interesting. And this was recorded by the National Geographic Society, and it's on YouTube, because I just watched it again this week to get the facts back in my mind again. But it details all that I've shared with you. But my friends, I know my Redeemer lives. Not just because of my faith in things unseen, but because of the actual empty tomb where Jesus laid and from where he rose from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. May the assurance of our risen Lord keep your hearts and minds on the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. Alleluia and amen.